are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, to learn, to serve, and to grow together in God's love. Please visit us online at www.covenantmadison.org, where you can find information about Covenant Ministries, as well as links to our online worship services and sermon podcasts.
Today we're focusing on you shall not murder and you shall not steal, the sixth and the eighth of these Ten Commandments. And I want to tell you about my very brief career as a thief. I grew up in Connecticut, and about age 12, I think it was, I found myself in a little gift shop filled with all sorts of interesting knickknacks, and I was fascinated by these little toothpicks that were in a little plastic container. They were shaped like swords. And so instead of going up to the counter and paying a dollar or two for this small container, I very secretly opened up the container and stuffed about four or five of them in my pocket and walked out of the store as quickly as possible. When I got home, I wasn't as excited about these swords as I was when I was in the store. Maybe it's just that they weren't all that great, or more likely, I was starting to feel guilty, sort of like my own version of the telltale heart. So after a day or two, I took those little swords, put them back in my pocket, went back to the store, found the already open container, stuffed them back in, and walked out. Now looking back, I should have gone up to the counter and told the people what I had done and offered to pay for the damaged merchandise, but I didn't do that. But I guess at least I went back in and had a sense that what I had done was not right. For that sense of right and wrong, I thank my parents, and I thank the good people of Westminster Presbyterian Church in West Hartford, Connecticut, where I was born and raised. I'm grateful for that sense of awareness, for getting me at least somewhat on the right path in life. Sometimes I wonder what would have happened if I didn't have that kind of foundation from my parents and from my church. Maybe I would have been emboldened to steal more things, and then more things, and then more things. It seems to me that in life, with every step we take in the wrong direction, it gets just a little bit easier to take that next step and the next step. And before you know it, our lives are out of control. You see that happening in acclaimed TV dramas like Ozark or Breaking Bad, where basically decent people take a step in the wrong direction and then another step and another step. And before you know it, their lives are a mess. And you see that happening in real life too, as people make bad decision after bad decision, with things like alcohol, greed, pornography, drugs, adultery, hatred, racism, all sorts of ways that we can go off in the wrong direction. So it's really, really important that we as Christians have times like Lent when we can intentionally and purposely think about the direction our life is going. And if we've gone in the wrong direction, if we've taken a few steps in the wrong way, we can use this time to turn around, to get back on track. Now, getting back on track is hard to do when we're alone, and we're certainly isolated during this time of COVID, which makes all the more important any encouragement and support that we can give to one another to help one another get back on track and stay on track, loving neighbor and loving God. Thou shalt not steal is the eighth commandment. We may not be robbing banks or stealing toothpicks from gift stores, but there are other things that I think all of us need to consider. In his delightful Lenten study book on the Ten Commandments called Words of Life, Pastor Adam Hamilton talks about a clergy friend of his who tries to always be on time for meetings because he doesn't want to steal time from other people, recognizing that for most of us, time is one of our most precious commodities. When I read that, I thought about how many times I've been late for things or kept other people waiting, stealing time from them. There's some food for thought for the day. Adam Hamilton offers another angle on thou shalt not steal, especially during Lent, the time when most of us are thinking about taxes. And he writes, let's talk about taxes. Have you ever overstated the value of your donations, not reported all of your income? The most recent estimates are that tax evasion and fraud cost the U.S. government $450 billion in lost tax revenue every year. If you don't pay your share of taxes, are you smart or are you stealing from the government, from other taxpayers, or from our children who somehow one day will have to make up the difference? Early in my ministry, after officiating at a wedding, the bride's father came up to me and gave me an envelope thanking me for the service, and he kind of winked at me and said, "It's cash, so you don't have to report it to Uncle Sam." I was kind of stunned at the time. I think all I was able to say was, "Thank you." But then when tax season came around, I did report that honorarium as income, like you're supposed to in a situation like this. Again, grateful for my parents and grateful for my church upbringing. Being a faithful Christian, being a faithful child of God, is more than just bare minimum obeying the commandments. It means doing the right thing when nobody else is looking. It means living with a sense of integrity and wholeness and decency. Jesus speaks about the commandments of the law, but he invites his followers to something more, to a new righteousness beyond a bare minimum obeying of the law as it's written. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus reflects on what was said in the law, and then he's calling his disciples to this new understanding, this deeper understanding, this new way of living. And in a series of several repeated sort of patterns, he says things like this: "You've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart." And later Jesus says this: "You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." So Jesus is calling us to more than the letter of the law, more than the bare minimum. He's inviting us to be transformed, to be new people. The Gospels tell of a young man who was fulfilling the law, but maybe lacking that something extra. A rich young man came to Jesus wanting to earn eternal life. He tells Jesus that he's kept all the commandments, not murdering, not committing adultery, not stealing, and so on, trying to justify himself. But Jesus calls him to a new level of righteousness, telling this rich young man to sell his belongings and give to the poor. This commandment, "Do not steal," invites us to be transformed and to live life with a sense of generosity, I think. A sense of kindness, a sense of sharing, a sense of optimism. I'm lucky that I get to see that kind of generosity and kindness all the time among the people of this church who give freely of time and talent and treasures to support this church, to support one another, to support the world around us. It's a great thing to see. And in this challenging year of COVID, over and over again, we've seen people being kind, being generous, exhibiting that new kind of righteousness, that new kind of life that Jesus came to invite us to live. Last month, Texas was dealing with those ice storms and all sorts of chaos. At a grocery store outside of Austin, shoppers were going there and stocking up on food, not sure what was coming in the next few days, and all of a sudden the power went out for them. While the power goes out, the cash registers don't work, so the customers were crowded around the door expecting to be told to just leave their carts and go home. But the manager of the store came out and told people to go ahead, take their groceries and go without paying. People were stunned, and all sorts of kind acts started happening after that day. It was a wonderful, wonderful story. One customer took a picture of that day and put a post on social media called "The Heart of America." And it included these words: "This is the America that I know. Despite all the negative that we hear and see being reported in the daily news, America and most Americans are still kind, thoughtful, generous, and caring." As for the sixth commandment, "You shall not murder," on the surface it seems pretty simple, pretty straightforward. But once again, Jesus invites us to a new righteousness, going beyond a simple letter of the law into a deeper and more faithful way of being God's people. We turn again to Matthew chapter 5 to hear what Jesus said about taking the law one step further. You have heard it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you're angry with a brother or sister, you'll be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you'll be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. So in these hyperbolic words, in these strong words, Jesus is teaching us that it's not enough to avoid the literal act of murder, but that we also need to be careful about anger, about bitterness, about envy, about resentment, and things like that, and move towards kindness and forgiveness and patience and compassion and love. And as we reflect on the issues that come up from the idea of thinking about murder, we're going to need all those things like kindness and compassion and love. Because again, this idea, don't kill, it sounds pretty simple, but there are a lot of complicated issues that invite us to some deeper reflection. Those issues include things like war and self-defense, abortion, euthanasia, capital punishment, poverty, healthcare, hunger. And in all of these complicated issues that we don't have time to talk about today, we need to have some level of kindness and compassion and love. So I'm just going to jump to the bottom line. Jesus, in all of these issues, is inviting us to affirm life. It's not enough to not murder, but we really need to find ways to affirm life in these circumstances and in each and every day. In John chapter 10, Jesus says that he came to give us life in abundance, life in all its fullness. Life is a gift to be treasured. Friends, the day of Easter, the celebration of the good news of Easter, is just 3 weeks away from today. Our Lenten journey continues, meanwhile, for these final 3 weeks, giving us more time to reflect on the direction that our life is taking, where we might need to turn around or adjust things a little bit, and how we can move forward in the right direction. Do not steal invites us to be generous, to be kind and gracious, remembering how God has been generous, kind, and gracious with us. Do not murder invites us to affirm life, to celebrate life, to make the most of every day that we're given, to be joyful in recognizing how God has blessed us with the gift of abundant, everlasting, eternal life. Thanks be to our generous, life-giving God. Amen.